All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, this is Pastor Doug Minton, and we are standing in the confessional corner once again, beginning our look at the third article of the Apostles' Creed. We're going to take this week and next week to look at the two stark sections of the third article. Primarily this week, the work of the Holy Spirit. Next week, the vehicles through which the Holy Spirit works. So let's look at the third article of the Creed from the Small Catechism. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. What does this mean? I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me up and all believers and all the dead and will give eternal life to me and to all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. What do we need to know about the Holy Spirit? Well, that's what this article talks about. So as we pick up in the Large Catechism, we are in Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, the Reader's Edition, page 403, picking up in paragraph 35. I cannot connect this article, as I have said, to anything better than sanctification. Through this article, the Holy Spirit, with his office, is declared and shown. He makes people holy, 1 Corinthians 6:11. Therefore, we must take our stand upon the term Holy Spirit, because it is so precise and complete that we cannot find another. For there are many kinds of spirits mentioned in the Holy Scriptures, such as the spirit of man, 1 Corinthians 2:11, heavenly spirits, Hebrews 12:23, and evil spirits, Luke 7:21. But God's Spirit alone is called the Holy Spirit, that is, he who has sanctified and still sanctifies us. For just as the Father is called Creator and the Son is called Redeemer, so the Holy Spirit, from his work, must be called Sanctifier, or one who makes holy. But how is such sanctifying done? The Son receives dominion by which he wins us through his birth, death, resurrection, and so on. In a similar way, the Holy Spirit causes our sanctification by the following: the communion of saints or the Christian church, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. That means he leads us first into his holy congregation and places us in the bosom of the church. Through the church, he preaches to us and brings us to Christ. How does the Holy Spirit gather us and call us by the gospel, enlighten us with his gifts? Through the church, by bringing us into the church, placing us in the bosom of the church, so that we might truly learn and see that none of this is of ourselves. This is all a gift from God. We can continue on in paragraph 38. Neither you nor I could ever know anything about Christ or believe on him and have him as our Lord unless it were offered to us and granted to our hearts by the Holy Spirit through the preaching of the gospel, 1 Corinthians 12:3, Galatians 4:6. The work of redemption is done and accomplished, John 19:30. Christ has acquired and gained the treasure for us by his suffering, death, resurrection, and so on, Colossians 2:3. But if the work remained concealed so that no one knew about it, then it would be useless and lost. So that this treasure might not stay buried, but be received and enjoyed, God has caused the word to go forth and be proclaimed. In the word he has the Holy Spirit bring this treasure home and make it our own. Therefore, sanctifying is just bringing us to Christ so that we receive this good, which we could not get ourselves, 1 Peter 3:18. What is the Holy Spirit's job? Pointing us to Jesus, because none of this that we have talked about in the Large Catechism before or in any of the confessions as we've stood in the confessional corner over these last 4 years would mean anything, because we would know none of this were it not for the Holy Spirit working through the Word, pointing us to Christ, bringing Christ into everything so that we can see what a great work and what a great Redeemer and Savior he is. Luther continues in paragraph 40. Learn then to understand this article most clearly. You may be asked, what do you mean by the words, I believe in the Holy Spirit? You can then answer, I believe that the Holy Spirit makes me holy, as his name implies. But how does he accomplish this? Or what are his methods and means to this end? By the Christian Church, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. For in the first place, the Spirit has his own congregation in the world, which is the mother that conceives and bears every Christian through God's Word, Galatians 4:26. Through the Word he reveals and preaches, he illumines and enkindles hearts so that they understand, accept, cling to, and persevere in the Word, 1 Corinthians 2:12. Here I want to point out in this answer, how does he accomplish this? Luther calls the church the mother of all Christians, because it is the church through the waters of baptism that gives new birth to Christians. Therefore, Cyprian was right when he said, you cannot have God as Father if you do not have the church as your mother, because it is in the church that you see God presented as Father. So also, you cannot see Jesus as your Savior except in the church. He continues on in paragraph 43. Where the Spirit does not cause the Word to be preached and roused in the heart so that it is understood, it is lost. Matthew 13:19. This was the case under the papacy, where faith was entirely put under the bench. No one recognized Christ as his Lord or the Holy Spirit as his sanctifier. That is, no one believed that Christ is our Lord in the sense that he has gained this treasure for us without our works and merit, Romans 4:6, and made us acceptable to the Father. What then was lacking? This. The Holy Spirit was not there to reveal it and cause it to be preached, but men and evil spirits were there. They taught us to obtain grace and be saved by our works. There is no Christian church in that. For where Christ is not preached, there is no Holy Spirit who creates, calls, and gathers the Christian church, without which no one can come to Christ the Lord. Let this be enough about the sum of this article. But since the parts that are numbered here are not quite clear to the simple, we shall go over them also. The Creed calls the Holy Christian Church a communion of saints. Both expressions taken together are identical. But in the past, the expression communion of saints was not there. This phrase has been poorly and unwisely translated into the German as a communion of saints. If it is to be rendered plainly, it must be expressed quite differently in a German way. In the same way, the word ecclesia properly means in German a gathering. But we are used to seeing it translated as the word church, by which the simple do not understand a gathered multitude, but the consecrated house or building. This is true even though the house ought not to be called a church, just because the multitude gathers there. For we who gather there make and choose for ourselves a particular place and give a name to the house according to the gathering. So the word church really means nothing other than a common gathering, and is not really German but Greek, as is also the word ecclesia. For in their own language, the Greek call it a curia, and is in Latin it is called curia. Therefore, in real German, in our mother tongue, it ought to be called a Christian congregation or gathering, or, best of all and most clearly, Holy Christendom. What is the church? Not the building you drive to and sit in. It is the people inside the church. We had this ad nauseum when churches were locked down during COVID. You know, the church is not the building. The people are the church. But the people also couldn't get out either. So the people couldn't be the church. But that is what we are called to do. That is why we are gathered together into one place. We, as the multitude that gathers, makes the building holy, not the other way around. This is why we can go from one building to another. This is why you can have churches, especially starts, happen in school gymnasiums or school auditoriums that are not sacred places by themselves, but they become a sacred place when the congregation gathers together around the Word and the sacraments. Luther continues in paragraph 49. So also the word communio, which is added, ought not to be translated communion, but congregation. It is nothing else than an interpretation or explanation by which someone meant to show that the Christian church is. Our people understood neither Latin nor German. They have translated this word communion of saints, although no German dialect says this or understands it this way. But to speak correct German, it ought to be a congregation of saints. That is, a congregation made up purely of saints, or to speak yet more plainly, a holy congregation. I say this in order that the words communion of saints may be understood. The expression has become so established by custom that it cannot be set aside easily, and is treated almost as heresy if someone attempts to change a word. Isn't that the case, though? Sometimes we are so accustomed to a way it is read, especially with Bible passages, that when a new translation comes out updating the language, we cringe. Which, well, is understandable because it doesn't quite seem the same. Which is one reason why in most English translations, Psalm 23 has not changed. The Lord's Prayer has not changed. Some of these great passages that are well known and well loved by people, often memorized, do not change because, well, the publisher wants this new translation to sell. And if they find out that it's a completely different wording for the Lord's Prayer or the 23rd Psalm, people won't want to buy it because it's not the same. That's just human nature. Wanting to change, but not liking change. All right, we're going to finish up this week, paragraphs 51 to 54. Again, talking about the Holy Christian Church. But this is the meaning and substance of this edition. I believe that there is upon earth a little holy group and congregation of pure saints under one head, even Christ, Ephesians 1:22. This group is called together by the Holy Spirit in one faith, one mind and understanding, with many different gifts, yet agreeing in love without sects or schisms. Ephesians 4, 5-11. I am also a part and member of this same group, a sharer and joint owner of all the goods it possesses. Romans 8:17. I am brought to it and incorporated into it by the Holy Spirit through having heard and continuing to hear God's word. Galatians 3:1-2, which is the beginning of entering it. In the past, before we had attained to this, we were altogether of the devil, knowing nothing about God and about Christ. Romans 3:10-12. So, until the last day, the Holy Spirit abides with the holy congregation or Christendom. John 14:17. Through this congregation, he brings us to Christ and he teaches and preaches to us the word. John 14:26. By the word, he works and promotes sanctification, causing this congregation daily to grow and to become strong in the faith and its fruit, which he produces. Galatians 5. We further believe that in this Christian church we have forgiveness of sin, which is wrought through the Holy Sacrament and absolution. Matthew 26:28, Mark 1:4, and John 20:23, and through all kinds of comforting promises from the gospel. Therefore, whatever ought to be preached about the sacraments belongs here. In short, the whole gospel and all the offices of Christianity belong here, which also must be preached and taught without ceasing. God's grace is secured through Christ. John 1:17, and sanctification is wrought by the Holy Spirit through God's word in the unity of the Christian church. Yet because of our flesh, which we bear about us, we are never without sin. Romans 7:23-24. There is one holy Christian and apostolic church on earth, and it is found wherever the true faith of God is, wherever it is truly proclaimed in word and sacrament. You can't find it within any four walls of any building. It is within the hearts of the Christians. It is within the hearts of those who have been redeemed by their Lord, shown him by the Holy Spirit, so that they might believe on him and be saved. That's it for this week. Next week, as we finish off the year of 2022, we will finish off the third article, looking at the last 16 paragraphs in the third article as we talk about not only the continuing with the forgiveness of sins, but the resurrection of the dead and the life everlasting. these last couple of things that the Holy Spirit uses to make us holy. But until then, this is Pastor Doug Minton, thanking you for being here, wishing you a wonderful and joyous Christmas this coming Sunday, and praying that the Holy Spirit increases your faith so that you may wrestle with the theologies around you. Amen.